Ali. Mutar is going to be talking to us this afternoon about secrets to living longer, and one of them being your social life. Did you know that your social life may be a reason that you live longer? Did you know that? And Mutar is going to be having a conversation with us. For those of you who are regular listeners of the show, you would know that Mutali is not the first. It's not the first time that she is joining us on the show. She's joined us before, and she is joining us. She is a certified life coach, and today she's here to talk to us about our social lives and how it may help us prolong our lives. Who would have thought that your social life could actually be the reason why you live longer in life? Good afternoon, Mutari.
Afternoon, Nolu, and afternoon to your listeners.
Afternoon. So good to have you back on the show again. It was a great conversation that we had a few weeks ago, and I'm looking forward to what you have in store for us for today as well.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be back.
Awesome. Now, last week, South Africa, you may have seen on the news a buzz that the oldest woman to have ever lived passed away, I think, 2 days before her 129th birthday. Last week, we saw this.
Oh,
did you know this? You didn't know this? Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Keep tuning in and you will know. Keep tuning in. You will learn stuff. So last week, a lady was 2 days, I think, before her birthday, her 129th birthday, passed away. And she's the oldest in SA to have lived for that long. Unfortunately, now we cannot ask her what her secret was or is, but we do know that there are some tricks, you know, that one can pull in maybe prolonging your life or not. You know, it depends on how you want to look at it. Other people will view it as, no, when your time has come, it has come. There's nothing you can do about it. Maybe let's just start there as a point of departure. What is your stand, Mutari, on can we prolong our lives, be it socially or living a healthier lifestyle? Can we prolong it, or is it one of those that when the date has been set, it's been set, there's nothing you can do about it?
So, Nolu, what I believe is that, you know, we all put up here on earth for a certain amount of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot control how much that time is, and we don't know when that's going to be.
Yeah.
But what is within our control is the speed at which we journey towards that end date. So are you running and sprinting towards that end date, or are you taking a nice, lovely stroll?
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, there are certain things that you can do according to studies that can prolong or actually cut your life short.
We know about cutting it too short, right? We know that that we can cut, but we are not certain about prolonging it. I mean, I may just say that I'm living a healthier lifestyle, not knowing that you are meant to die at 75, Nolu, anyway. You know, and I would think that because I'm vegan, vegetarian, I exercise, I drink water, I've prolonged my life.
Well, there have been certain people who are doing all of the right things, but unfortunately do die at a young age, right? Their time was set. They were supposed to go at that time. Now, you, for instance, you might have a 75, but because you are actually taking better care of yourself, you're going there slower. But if you're, for instance, drinking excessively all the time, you might be speeding up your time and you might not get there at 75, you get there at 65. You might not put on your seatbelt when you're in the car, or when you're on a motorcycle, you don't wear your helmet. So it just differs from time to time. And we all don't know. We just do studies, we do research, but nobody really knows. The best that we can do is do the things that are within our control. And although the time is not in our control and we don't even know what it is, we can do what we can do, and that is live a healthier life, manage our stress, avoid harmful behaviors. So those are the kind of things that we can do to live a healthier life. And another thing to think about is that doing those kind of things in order to lead a healthy life also improves your quality of life.
Okay.
Because your health, not having good health, even if you are going to get to 75, you might get there, but you're not as well as you could have been if you were taking care of your life.
There's a trick.
The quality of life is also very, very important. If you're going to fit, if you are going to get to 75, you want to be bouncing around and running and driving. But there are certain people who get to a certain age and they look like they are 100, even though they're only 75, because of the life choices that they made during their lifetime.
Wow. I was actually just looking for this article about this woman. In fact, it's not even the oldest woman to live in South Africa. It's the oldest woman to live in the world.
In the world, wow.
That is right. That was right here in South Africa. Johanna Mazibuko from Klerksdorp died at the age of 128 years old, just a few days before her birthday. Can you believe it?
Wow. That's incredible.
That it is incredible. I wish I could wake up and say, ma'am,
what is the secret?
How did you do it? But okay, getting into our conversation, getting into our conversation, and we ask you listeners as well to be part of this conversation by sending your comments and your questions on our WhatsApp line on 0734703520, Facebook, AWRSID Media, our Twitter and Instagram. It is at @AWRSID_media. You can use the hashtag FaithOutLoud. We're talking about your social life possibly being a reason why you could live longer in this life. So if we take it from creation, Mudari, right, we see that in the beginning everything was beautiful and blissful. You know the story of creation. Those who do not know, in the Bible, Genesis 1, we started in the beginning. It's a depiction of how the earth was formed and the first man that ever lived. You know, we see Adam in the picture, and we see how God was giving Adam dominion over the fish, over the beasts, over everything that was living on earth, saying, name them, you know, rule over them. And Adam, I want to believe that Adam was happy because he had everything that he had need, he would, you know, ever need. I mean, imagine.
And it was beautiful.
And it was beautiful. And he had communion with God, you know, he was just. God was his friend. God was his friend. God was his father. So he had nothing missing in his life. But along the lines, we see in chapter 2, where God then introduces a woman, a partner, a helpmeet for Adam, you know, to say it is not good for him to be alone. That's where I am. He says it's not good for him to be alone. And I'm asking myself, but how? Why? When he had everything that he could have possibly needed. And what is this then supposed to mean for us, you know, as human beings? We know this verse is usually read when people are getting married, right? It's not good for a man to be alone. But now let's bring it into our social lives. I mean, we all experience some form of loneliness in our lives. We want to be with people. Sometimes we don't want to. But even when we don't want to, we still want to know that there is someone that I can call, or there is someone that I can visit or go stay with should anything, you know, ever happen. What does this mean about our makeup socially?
So I want to take it to the primitive times, you know, when we were still living in the caves and we were hunting for food. Living alone was not viable because your chances of survival was just really, really low. Because in larger groups, you had someone to protect you against the predators. You could help each other gather food, hunt for food. You could take care of each other if someone was sick, and so on and so forth. So we'd share resources, would help take care of the kids, and so on and so forth. So your chances of survival outside of the group was significantly lowered. So we were, even back in the days, even when we couldn't communicate in the way that we communicate today, we would be in groups. And so even now, we find that even people that are introverted, like you had mentioned before, they still need a bit of social interaction. So even if they live alone at home, they'll socialize at work, or they'll socialize in other settings as well. So being social is something that's really, really important. It's important because you can get social support, which helps to reduce stress, and it promotes healthy behaviors, such as A friend will say, friend, Toma, let's go exercise together. Let's go hiking. Mm-hmm. And even though it's not your thing, you'll think, oh, okay, let's go do it. We'll catch up. So it promotes those kind of activities.
Right.
You go out, you de-stress, you have fun. And it also gives you a sense of belonging, being with people that are important to you. So that's why it's important to be social in your life. And it can certainly help you to live longer.
So the social aspect of our being is actually embedded in us. We were never meant to be alone.
No, certainly not.
I guess that's where also then the spirit of Ubuntu comes from, right?
100%. 100%.
So we are social beings, guys. So here is a red flag that you should note one way in which we can identify somebody that's going through something. We know the world is marred with mental health right now. The minute the person constantly wants to be alone, I think this is a red flag to say something might not be 100% right here.
Yes, 100%. And I've actually experienced it personally.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you just want to isolate, you don't want to talk to anybody, you just want to be alone. And that is definitely a cause for concern. And isolation can actually affect you negatively in different ways. So you feel lonely, you feel like, I have no one. You can also engage in unhealthy behaviors. You start drinking, doing drugs, doing things that you're not supposed to be doing. And it also starves you of lack of stimulation. You're not getting stimulated, you're just by yourself. And that's something that you need, because your brain also needs to be active. Because when your brain stops being active, then it stops growing, it starts to deteriorate.
You become dull.
So isolating is also not a good thing. And we've seen it in prisoners that have been put in solitary confinement. You know, we've seen it during the pandemic when we had to be isolated and depression and anxiety shot up. And the World Health Organization says it shot up by up to 25% worldwide.
Sure.
So it's something that's really, really detrimental, because it can also affect you physically. It's not just a mental
thing. Ali, you're mentioning a very important word here. You're saying it's detrimental.
Yes.
Correct. So we could actually, people actually die from being alone and being lonely.
People actually die, and some examples of is when someone just after retirement doesn't continue to be social because they've lost that meaning in life. They don't have that job anymore. They don't have their coworkers anymore in order to socialize with and change stories with. They don't exercise anymore because they don't walk around the office. So you do find that in some cases, just retirement, someone can just come to the end of their life. Or if you have that companion, that person of yours that, you know, you sit with every day, and umamkulu or mamkulu, one of them goes, and then the next one is also gone because that person that they used to socialize with every day is no longer there.
Hey. Yeah, ne? This thing of being alone is a real problem. So what is it then that makes people happy? You know, does a happy life, if we want to prolong our lives, as we were mentioning in the beginning of the conversation, by living a quality life and not rushing through our lives, does living a happy life mean that we're going to have a long life? And does being miserable meaning that we are shortening our lives?
So it differs from person to person, because while a lot of people will say having a long life is something that's desirable, it's not necessary for everyone.
Okay.
Right? Some people's quality of life is compromised because of certain things that they go through. They might have chronic illness. It might be poverty. Maybe it could also be things like they don't have friends and stuff like that. So even though they've had a long life, it was not a happy life. But we also find people who've had a short life that were very fulfilled within that life and happy and satisfied. It's the quality of life that really makes the difference. What are you doing with the time that you actually have?
It's the quality of life, guys.
It's the quality of life.
Hey, yeah, no, when you talk about quality. So does then quality mean that it is important for us to have a social life? Do I need to have a social life? And when I'm talking about social life, I mean, I've got my brother, my sister, my mother, my dad at home. Do I need to be friends with Mutari out there and the likes and the Nolus out there? Or can does this constitute, does my family constitute of my social life? Or do I need to spread my wings and fly?
It depends from person to person. Some people are just happy with having one person in their life to socialize with, and some people need just vast amounts of people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we think about whether people like being social, whether they think it's important to be social, we can look at the success of social media.
Okay.
And how it really just grew like wildfire when it started.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because people found different ways or another platform on which to be social.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did some research and asked people, why are you going on these social medias? They said, almost 50% said that it's because they want to keep in touch with their friends and their family. So it's because they want to be social. There are other reasons, of course, such as news and stuff. But mm-hmm. the biggest one was I want to be social.
Mm-hmm.
Now we all do it in different ways and with different personalities. You might need different things. And you also, where you are, you might be in a place where you've moved to a place because of work. You don't know a lot of people. But there's always ways to be social. There's always ways to be social. You can go on the websites and find people with similar interests. You can go to the different activities that they have in your community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you actually can become more social. And it helps you with your mental health and your physical health as well.
Exactly.
Because it helps you reduce stress, you feel good. And those are the kind of things that help with your health.
That's right. Mundari, I don't know if you remember back in the day. Do you remember the time of pen pals? I was talking about this, I think, last week on the show. Do you remember the time of pen pals?
Yes.
Did you have one?
No, I never had one.
Oh, what a sad life you live.
I never had one.
That was, you know, talking about being us being social beings and, you know, wanting to be able to connect with one another, whether we're in the same province, country, those were the things that kept us alive. For some reason,
absolutely,
it made us look forward into, you know, it created some sort of excitement and curiosity. We had people going to America, England, because of a postcard that was sent to them to say, you know, this is how Buckingham Palace looks. And somebody drew a picture, but also you were able, some people have actually managed to make lifelong friendships through pen pals.
Absolutely. And the same can be said with Facebook or Instagram.
Right.
The majority of my friends that I have on Facebook, I've actually never met. And we comment in each other's pictures and we share each other's posts and we wish each other happy birthdays. And I even know what's happening in their lives, but I've never actually laid my eyes on them.
Wow. You know, somebody said this the other day. I don't know if it was someone I met when I was away, and they said, you know, I feel like I know you. I feel like you're my friend because I follow you on social media and we talk from time to time. And I almost feel like I know you. We're friends like that. But isn't that beautiful? You know, I mean, I know social media can be absolutely horrific, but I feel like this is the best side of social media, where we're able to now be kind to one another, to laugh with one another, to meet up and just give a hug, you know?
I know.
It just makes the world such a better place.
Absolutely. Just last week, I received a book through Takealot from a lady that I've actually never met. We've just talked to each other on social media, comment on each other's statuses, and we just like the things that we post. And so she said, you know what, I think you love this book.
Uh-huh.
And she sent it to me, and I love the book. Okay. I read it every day. It's one of those daily ones.
Yeah.
I read it every day, and it's really been helping me in my life. So that's something that would never have been possible. I've never met her. She's in Cape Town. I'm in Venda.
Imagine.
So that's what that's how being social can affect your life.
Wow. Right? Big ups to being social beings, hey? Big ups to being social beings. But also in being social beings, there are some courtesies that we need to learn. There are some rules that we need to learn when we are out there and making friends. You also don't want to come off too strong, or you don't want to seem too shy or too overbearing. The list is endless. What are some of the basic, you know, social skills that we need to have? You know, be it we are communicating on Instagram, on email, you know, everything that we do now has an etiquette to it. You know, there's telephone etiquette, there's email etiquette. I'm sure there's social media etiquette as well. And so in being in trying to be social, especially also for people who are not normally social beings, you know, the introverts we were referring to, the people who from this conversation might want to say, I actually just want to come out of my shell a little bit, but I'm a little bit scared and I'm a little bit skeptical. What are some of, you know, the basic social skills that one can learn and then apply as they go out?
So the first one and the most important, I think, is effective communication, right? Because you need to be able to express your thoughts and your feelings clearly, right? Listening is also a part of that. So active listening is also very important, because as much as people like to talk, they also want to feel like they're listened to, right? So listening and listening actively is the important thing. Empathy is also another thing. For me to be able to put myself in your situation and understand you as a person, because we've all had different experiences, we all come from different places, we all come from different families. So to be able to have empathy for each other. And conflict resolution for those times when we are just butting head, we're not agreeing on those things. And something that's also really, really important is for us to be able to respect each other. You know, we all are going through our own things at different times, but we're all human at the end of the day. And regardless of which level we're on, right, whether I'm really, really exorbitantly rich or I'm a poor person, let's all respect each other. Whether I'm just entered the workplace or I'm a CEO, let's all respect each other, because we are all human beings at the end of the day.
Very important. Very, very important. Effective communication, but for me, respect takes the cup, you know. Respect, respect, respect. We can never say this, and you know, too many times, because sometimes we really, really do not know where to draw the line, especially in these social media platforms. You can you can say the same thing in two different platforms, and it will be received in two different ways. And, you know, we know others who are really, really hiding behind the computer, and those who are just like, you know, we understand what is being communicated here. We are applying our minds. But you know what? It's been a great conversation, Mudari. I don't know if you have anything else that you would like to share with our listeners regarding, you know, being social and having leading a healthier lifestyle in order to prolong, or, you know, to live longer and be able to enjoy this beautiful earth that we have been, you know, been given by God. Do you have any last thoughts in our conversation?
And it is beautiful, isn't it, Nolu?
It is. It's colorful. Like, we haven't even seen half of it.
I know. Absolutely. So what I would maybe like to do to just give your listeners a bit of homework is just to refer them to the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And just to look at it and to see how they can work up on that hierarchy, because at the very, very bottom is things like physiological, right? Do you have a place to sleep? Do you have water? Do you have food? Are you breathing? That's the very, very basic. Once you have that, then you move on to the next level, which is, do you have employment? Are you getting proper health? Are you safe at night? Then the next one is then the social level. Love and belonging, friendship, family, romantic intimacy. and then you move on to esteem and self-actualization. So just to see which level are you on and which level do you want to be, and what are the things that you need to do in order to level up according to that Maslow's hierarchy of needs. That will really guide them as they walk along this journey.
Wow. There you go, folks. That's where you have it. We're talking to a certified life coach, Mudari. Mudari, you tell them your surname. I looked at it again today. I said, Nemadzibani. Who?
Nemadzibanani.
Ah, not hard. Nemadzibanani.
It's actually very simple. Nemadzibanani. It's just long, but it's very, very simple. Yes.
Ah, guys, why have I been killing myself? It's Mudari Nemadzibada.
Nemadzibanani.
How can people find
you? Don't worry, we'll get it next
time. Yeah, definitely. How can people find you on social media? Do you take consultations if people want to, you know, have a chat with you, talk about a few things regarding life and maybe get their lives in order? Where can people get hold of you?
So on Instagram, I am at AfroVixen, that's with two X's. And then on Facebook, I am Mudari Nemadzibanani, and that's how they can contact me. You can DM me, and I will get back to you.
There you have it. Thank you so much. I want to attempt to say your surname.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for such a wonderful conversation. Have a great...
Wonderful as always.
Always. Have a great Monday and a great week ahead.
You too.